is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Uncertainty growing after U.S. tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports kicked in, leading to U.S. allies, along with China, to issue retaliatory hikes. The trade war weighing on the economy, along with a looming government shutdown deadline, that's this Friday. The House passed a bill to extend funding, but it still needs Senate approval. Democrats today say they will not get behind the bill due to funding cuts to key programs. ABC News political director Avery Harper. Harper has more.
The overall cuts to spend across the federal government. There are also issues that Democrats have with spending on health care, the possibility that it could affect health care access for those who are using the program Medicaid. But there's also this overarching concern that Congress is ceding power and the power of the purse to President Trump and Elon Musk.
On Wall Street, stocks ending mixed, making up for some of the losses this week due to positive data showing inflation is cooling. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX.
Rebecca Cook announced her campaign for Congress in Chippewa County yesterday. Cook, who has run for the 3rd Congressional District seat twice, is seeking to unseat Republican Derek Van Orden. Cook says she plans on building on the momentum of her past campaigns.
I think we'll certainly be a lot more aggressive. I think that we've got to hold this administration's worst instincts accountable, and Derek Van Orden has proven that he's really lockstep with what this administration is attempting to do.
Cook, a Democrat, is the first person to announce their candidacy to challenge Van Orden. Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berg is also considering a run for Congress. La Crosse mayoral candidates Shondell Washington Spivey and Chris Kalo both received endorsements this week. Washington Spivey was endorsed by former Mayor John Mettinger, while Kalo was endorsed by two-time candidate Vicky Markison, who narrowly lost to current Mayor Mitch Reynolds 4 years ago and also narrowly missed the spring election ballot by coming in third in last month's primary. The two candidates will debate tonight at 6 p.m. at UW La Crosse's Cleary Alumni and Friends Center. UW-Madison is among the dozens of universities being targeted by the Trump administration over its handling of protests about the war in Gaza and other issues. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Department of Education, now led by Linda McMahon, sent letters to 60 universities across the country, accusing them of violating Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. Title VI requires that any organization receiving federal funds bans discrimination based on race, color, or national origin. Trump and his surrogates have said they would crack down on what they call anti-Semitism on campus, saying the schools failed to protect Jewish students and faculty. Last year, UW-Madison students camped out as a protest against the war in Gaza, and that movement ended when police broke up the demonstration. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Trump administration has already begun canceling federal funding for several universities.
You can listen anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks lose in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bucks against the Pacers. Just over 3 seconds left when Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton makes a clutch three-point shot and draws a foul to win the game. Brian Anderson on TNT.
Pacers down three. Halliburton's got the ball. Halliburton rises up.
The Bucks lose 115-114. Doc Rivers says nobody covered Halliburton.
He was open the whole play, and we'll have to figure it out because that's a play that should never happen.
So the Bucks have lost three in a row. They host the Lakers tomorrow night. Junior Bridgman has died. He collapsed from a heart attack while speaking at a Boy Scouts luncheon in Louisville. Bridgman played 9 seasons for the Bucks before becoming a billionaire businessman and part owner of the team. John McLaughlin was one of his teammates.
The finest person I've ever known in my life. Just class guy.
Junior Bridgman was 71 with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny and even warmer tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of showers and storms Friday, high around 75. Windy, rain to snow, and falling temps Saturday. Sun, breezy, and a high in the upper 30s only Sunday. It's 55 right now.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Actually, it's not Dom Salvia. It's Matt Rothschild. Dom's off today. I'm guest hosting along with my favorite co-guest host, Angela Lang of Block. Hi, Angela. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. This is going to be an abbreviated show. We're only on for an hour today because at 5 we're cutting to an event at the Overture Center in Madison, right across the street from here, on the stakes of the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. If you can't come in person, listen all across the Civic Media Radio Network. This event is sponsored by Up North News in association with Civic Media. And look at the lineup on the panel. State Senator Kelda Royce, Representative Francesca Hong, Representative Moore Omukunde, and Representative Christian Phelps. Moderators are Up North News founding editor Pat Kreitlow, who you can hear on the Civic Media Radio Network, Civic Media host Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, and of course, Civic Media. So
great,
that's
lineup.
Coming up. Yeah, isn't it cool? Coming up at 5. I'm going to run over there and watch the first hour. I got a dinner date with my son, so I can't be there the whole time, but going out for some good Thai food in Madison, which we have a lot of.
Ooh.
So that's kind of nice.
Nice.
Well, Angela, I know you had this piece at Recombobulation Area for Dan that really struck a lot of important notes, and I just wanted to go over a few of those with you. One of them was about this electability dog whistle, and I'm reminded of it because we just heard Mandela Barnes on with Maggie Dawn in the last hour, and it was a great show. It was great to hear Mandela's voice again. But he makes a cameo in your article, and why don't you talk about it?
I texted him first, both him and Everett Mitchell, and I was like, hey, I'm writing this piece. Is it okay if I include, some of the racism that you all both dealt with? And I told them, I was like, I also understand if you all don't want to rehash that. And they both gave me their blessings, thank goodness. But, and I'm very appreciative to them of that. But I think it's still something that I and many others are not over. And I really wanted to connect the pieces of how, you know, you add in, former Justice Louis Butler and his reelection, and how all of that played out. Judge Donald in Milwaukee, when he also tried to run for the Supreme Court, starting to connect the dots about how these tough on crime ads lead to perpetuating stereotypes of Black men and how Wisconsin is home to the most incarcerated zip code. Yet every time a Black man makes attempt at our state's highest court, they're boxed out of it. And I think it was really important to talk about both of those things and connect two of those dots too.
Yeah, you mentioned the tough on crime ads. And so in prep for this show, I went to WisPolitics to look at their ad watch. And any of you listeners can do that. Just go to WisPolitics.com. They have something under their news category that's called Ad Watch. And you can look at some of the latest ads. Lo and behold, from Susan Crawford herself, I saw an ad that was entitled with these words on the screen, Brad Schimmel gave violent criminals light sentences. And then I saw one from the other side, with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Elon Musk's Building America's Future Group saying, with these words on the screen, Susan Crawford, weak sentencing for violent criminals. Yeah. And so we're getting it as the viewer from both sides, and it's inundating us as it has in past elections. And what are the consequences of that inundation?
Well, one, it just turns people off. I think people, especially right now, are really tired in this political landscape of this endless mudslinging and people's stories being paraded around, victims and families being re-traumatized, or even families of, you know, the person that may be currently incarcerated. That is, I think, re-traumatizing and opening up a lot of wounds. And a lot of times people don't want to see that negative ads all the time. But I also think it has long-term consequences, because if people are driven to the polls because of these ads and they're being misled, thinking that the state Supreme Court is going to do something about your neighborhood crime, and that's why you're actually going to vote, you're going to be sadly disappointed when you realize there will be no movement on the same thing that got you to the polls. And so if people aren't getting movement on their issues when they're showing up at the polls, you're going to stop showing up at the polls.
You can join our conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Angela, I'm sure you've heard from political operatives on the Democratic side that say, Angela, do a little mansplaining maybe. Angela, you might be right morally, but look, we got to win this election, and this is the way we got to win the election. We've got to inoculate our candidate from attacks from the right, that our candidate is weak on crime, because that's what drives some people to the polls. So what's your answer to that?
I've actually had people say that verbatim.
Shocking.
There have been people who will remain nameless who literally said, well, we just need to elect her and she can be progressive later, which is not. Yeah, that was. And then they try to mansplain how to win a statewide election. So what I will say is, like, talk to people, talk to actual voters. But then also in the article, you know, shameless plug, I did link to some research that said people are tired of hearing about these constant punitive type of messages all of the time. And people want to see investment in their community. And now, you know, after all of these rants, for me, after all these years, there's data and research to back it up. And I linked that to the article.
You know, part of the problem is with these two candidates, though, even though Brad Schimmel was attorney general, is that the public awareness of both candidates, according to the Marquette Law School poll, was so low. And that just gives a field day to outside groups and to the candidates themselves to try to define the other candidate in the most grotesque ways. And so we had this mudslinging contest. And that, as you say, deters voters. And, you know, maybe that's a strategy on both sides. I mean, this is an April 1st election, crucial election, by the way. If you're listening, make sure you vote in the April 1st election. And make sure you vote for Susan Crawford, because Brad Schimmel is no good for Wisconsin. And look, bring a family member, bring a friend. Turnout sometimes is low, especially in spring elections. And your vote has a lot more influence than in a presidential race when there are so many more people voting. So make sure you vote and bring your friends out to vote. But yeah, I mean, given that, you know, less than 50%, quite a lot less than 50% knew who either candidate was, it's just a huge opening for whoever wants to identify that candidate in their own worst light. So, I mean, that's an issue too. It crossed my mind. Maybe the Democrats should have, maybe a more well-known person should have been on the ballot. I don't know. What do you think of that?
You know, I think there's always going to be, you know, is this the right candidate all the time? I personally am always going to be advocating and finally electing our first Black Supreme Court justice, right? But I think that there are some folks that think that there's been a formula. If you look at some of the more liberal justices, they have similar backgrounds. They're from similar areas. They, you know, kind of have the same values and alignment. And so I think people think that this formula is going to continue to work. But that Marquette poll was very shocking. And you're right. I think it does give outsiders specifically an opportunity to define these candidates, including people like Elon Musk, who, you know, is working in the administration, currently having an active role in shredding our Constitution in real time. And he is now trying to buy our state's highest court because he is able to enact the Trump agenda, because a lot of times they're saying, let's throw everything back to states. If you're throwing back to the states, you literally bought the court that would decide whether or not to uphold the Trump agenda.
And we've got Jess P.S. in the booth saying, we're getting soft on crime attacks on Crawford on YouTube stream right now. So here we are in real time, getting mud splattered on our faces. You mentioned Elon Musk. There's this article at WIS Politics right now, today, showing that there's already a record being broken in this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. $59 million already spent or already purchased ads. The past record was, depending on who you're asking, somewhere between 51 and 56 million, which was more than twice the previous record, national record, not just a record here in Wisconsin. Elon Musk himself, his two groups that Elon Musk funds, and he's the primary funder, $12 million. $12 million to just run the most hideous ads against Susan Crawford. And for him, it's, you know, couch change. And, you know, he didn't mind losing $100 billion in the last 5 days in the stock market. So I'm sure he doesn't mind losing $12 million here in Wisconsin.
It's wild. But then also some of his own ads, he had the wrong Susan Crawford. So it's like, yeah. You're putting together really crappy work, you know,
and it just goes to also all of those Susan Crawfords.
Sure, you know, but it goes to show, it's like you're trying to claim to have a dog in this fight when you don't you literally, Mean Girls reference, you don't even go here. Right, you don't have a dog in this fight. The least you can do is at least pretend you have the right person and you know the dynamics of what's happening on the ground and quite literally just what these candidates look like. How much more out of touch do you need to be, including being an out of touch billionaire trying to buy a Wisconsin state Supreme Court race?
I mean, this should offend every voter in Wisconsin that you have this richest man in the world who may, you know, who doesn't even know who the candidate is, uses the wrong picture for the candidate. I don't know how often he's been in Wisconsin. Not very often, I don't think, telling us who should be elected. I mean, this is the problem that we've come to in this state with the horrible rewrite of our campaign finance law in 2015, which I wrote about at Civic Media, and also with the horrible U.S. Supreme Court decisions, Citizens United being the most obvious one. But, you know, in 2014, there was this U.S. Supreme Court decision that said, you know, there can be no limit on the spending by super rich people. There can be no aggregate limit. That was the McCutcheon decision. And the combination of those two and some previous decisions have just made it an open season for multimillionaires and billionaires here to decide for us, Wisconsin citizens, you know, who our Supreme Court justice should be. I mean, Elon Musk is not a citizen of Wisconsin.
Right.
I mean, why should he be telling us who should be on our Supreme Court?
Yeah, I mean, that just goes to show, people talk about these out-of-state interests or out-of-state billionaires. Like, this is exactly who we're talking about. You know, one of the richest men in the world. Why do you care about the Wisconsin? Not even, you know, New York, right? And I'm not saying that. It's just like, Wisconsin, we know where we are in terms of size, population, demographics, and things like that. How it's almost a little niche, right? And it's just very clear, very obvious. They're just trying to have a through line to the Trump administration.
Speaking with Angela Lang, I'm at Rothschild 7 in for Dom here, as Angela is as well. You can join the conversation, 855-752-4842. We'll be right back on the Dom Salvia Show.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Nevada Senate Bill 406 made it a felony to harass or intimidate election workers. In a federal appeals court March 7th, four right-wing activists claimed that the law is too vague and could allow them to be unfairly intimidated against participating in the election process. SB 406, signed by Republican Governor Joe Lombardo in May 2023, was unanimously passed in both houses of the legislature after threats to Nevada election workers following the 2020 and 2022 elections. Under the new law, individuals who intend to interfere with the conduct of an election or retaliate against election officials could face up to 4 years in prison. It also protects election workers from doxing, disseminating their personal information. The Reno Gazette-Journal reports that the plaintiffs used a 2020 social media post by Attorney General Aaron Ford to demonstrate that the law was too vague and itself could be viewed as intimidation. Ford's post read in part, FYI, voter intimidation is illegal in Nevada. Believe me when I say it, you do it and you will be prosecuted, unquote. The case, dismissed in federal circuit court for lack of evidence, is backed by wealthy election denier and plaintiff Robert Beatles. Depending on the Ninth Circuit's decision, it could be challenged further in the U.S. Supreme Court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is on the deer.
Yeah, I'm not a preacher man. I'm Matt Rothschild, though. I'm subbing in here for Dom Salvia on the Dom Salvia Show. I'm joined by my guest co-host, Angela Lang. And we're taking your calls and texts, and we're getting a lot of texts. The number to call or text is 855-752-4842. You know the 855. Just remember 752-4842. Give us a holler. So we got a text from George who said erroneously, slanderously, that I'm okay with Pritzker and Soros and Reid Hoffman, you know, spending as much money as they want to support the Democrats. George, if you'd go to civicmedia.us, you'd see my column where I say exactly the opposite, that this is a bipartisan problem, that our democracy shouldn't be a tug of war between a handful of billionaires on the left and a handful of billionaires on the right, that we all, as citizens, should have an equal tug on that rope, and we need to drastically rewrite our campaign finance law here in Wisconsin, and we've got to overturn Citizens United and McCutcheon and all those bad decisions so the super rich can't tell us who our Supreme Court justice should be. Mark from the SAC texts, Schimmel gave Scott Jensen a sweetheart deal, which is absolutely true, when Jensen got a change of venue after being convicted for three felonies here in Madison, and he just gave him a slap on the wrist and a single misdemeanor. Schimmel's been a hack for the Republicans for decades. We have a text from Uncle Tony from Columbus. Matt and Angela, just some feedback that I really don't think Crawford's ads focused on abortion are a winning strategy. Uncle Tony thinks that's a strategy from 4 years ago and thinks we Democrats should focus on the incompetence of the Republicans. Angela, I'm going to give that to you.
Yeah, you know, I think when it comes to abortion, yes, immediately after Roe fell, I think there was like some, it felt like whiplash. I don't think, you know, people ever thought that there had been attacks on Roe for years. No one would ever thought that it would finally fall, right? And so I think that there was a lot of feelings and a lot of momentum. And what I'm about to say does not mean that abortion is not a critical issue. I'm speaking as a Black woman. Absolutely, it is. But we also have to acknowledge that that's not the driving issue for everyone, right? Especially some maybe faith leaders and whatnot that may not agree with it. And unless we have a full comprehensive conversation about abortion, but also framing it as like bodily autonomy, the way we've kind of talked about it at Block is like whether you agree with the concept or the procedure of abortion or not should this be a decision that the government decides for you? And that's been a helpful reframe, but I don't think everyone is being able to incorporate that aspect into the argument. And until we do, I don't think that it has to be, we have to put all of our eggs in the abortion basket, so to speak, right? We can't actually do that because it's not a winning strategy. Yes, we should continue to talk about it. It's important to be highlighted, but it can't be a strategy thinking it's going to resonate with everyone because we're not having a holistic conversation and doing that reframe around values. And is this a decision that the government should decide?
Angela Lang is the founder and executive director of Block Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. And your organization has endorsed Susan Crawford. Tell us why.
Yeah, so I'll be honest, you know, it's not a secret that we did not make an endorsement in Justice Janet Porosiegowicz's race just because we had some challenges that we couldn't overcome. We did do a lot of education. So we were kind of walking into this feeling a little raw, wondering if we were going to deal with the same tough on crime ads all over again, which are harmful to our community. But the endorsement committee, which is a team of ambassadors that do this work, they'll be the ones out in the field letting folks know about the elections. They did their research and she was brought in for an interview. And after, you know, just decent, comprehensive deliberation based off the research and the interview, they all voted unanimously to support her. They definitely felt that there could be some areas to continue to have dialogue and conversation and areas for growth, but also definitely lingering with what we were just talking about with the other conversation, understanding that Elon Musk is trying to buy the election and Susan Crawford is actually going to care about Wisconsinites and protecting the rights of all Wisconsinites and not trying to take them away that we're seeing with the Trump administration. So it was a little bit of a no-brainer once we were able to get to know her and have an honest conversation virtually with her. And our team is excited to move forward and let people know in our community about the election.
So if you were running her campaign, Angela Lang, what issues would you push? You've talked about the abortion issue and the way to make that more of a values conversation. What other issues would you bring forward?
I mean, I always want to hear, and I'm as a non-lawyer, I want us to get back to campaigning about what is your judicial philosophy? You know, how do you view the Constitution, the way people talk about activist judges or, you know, by the book, word for word judges? Like, I want us to have those conversations. We can talk broadly about values, which I think is helpful because you start to get to understand how those two things play together and see if there's any implicit bias. Yes, we can say, hey, is there a particular case that you're not proud of and why? But I think constantly bringing up the cases, we should be talking about Wisconsinites. How are you all protecting democracy? How are we protecting voting rights, protecting the rights and upholding our Constitution for everyone, despite the attacks on it, whether it's from Robin Voss's legislature or the Trump administration? A lot of times the state Supreme Court is deciding things on behalf of Wisconsinites. And I want us to see how that would play out, but knowing their judicial philosophy, knowing their legal background, some of the challenges, how they view, we could talk about how they view the criminal justice system in terms of mass incarceration, but also recognizing that they have very little to do with it. So I think being able to talk about the broad strokes and again, bringing it back to more of a legal angle, but to regular people who not, most of us voters are not lawyers. We don't know the law, but it is helpful to hear from these candidates, how they view the law, how they approach the law, and how they apply the law.
Angela, we have a text from Carrie from Tosa who says, this is back to Elon Musk. Elon wants a Tesla dealership in Wisconsin and right now can't get it. It could be challenged and Elon will have a court if he gets to get Schimmel on there that would side with him. Sorry and pathetic, yes, says Carrie. We need to end Citizens United. So true, and there's a great group called Wisconsin United to Amend that has gotten 179 communities on board in Wisconsin saying, yes, let's overturn Citizens United. Yes, let's amend the Constitution to ban huge dollars in our campaigns. This is the Dom Salvia Show. Angela Lang and I, Matt Rothschild, are subbing in here for the next half hour. Call or text 855-752-4842. We'll be right back.
Don't give up the fight.
Don't give it up. Don't give it up.
Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Stand up for your right.
Get up, stand up.
Get up,
stand up.
Don't give up the fight.
Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Stand up
for your right.
Get up, stand up.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX.
Rebecca Cook announced her campaign for Congress in Chippewa County yesterday. Cook, who has run for the 3rd Congressional District seat twice, is seeking to unseat Republican Derek Van Orden. Cook says she won't be shy about hearing from constituents in the 3rd District.
As a public servant, you're elected to be by the people and for the people, right? And so you need to be accountable to the people. And so I intend to host town halls pretty frequently throughout the campaign and create opportunities for people on both sides of the aisle to be able to interact with me and have a dialogue on issues that they care about the most.
Cook, a Democrat, is the first person to announce their candidacy to challenge Van Orden. Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berg is also considering a run for Congress. The La Crosse City Council will meet tomorrow. Today, the Housing Authority will review its Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher. The City Administrator Workgroup will also meet. Tomorrow's long City Council agenda includes resolutions on dozens of property and utility bids and agreements, rezoning requests, and the Police Department's annual report. The City Council will also consider approval for several road construction projects and consider approving $250,000 for the airport's minimum revenue guarantee fund. This week is the girls' basketball state tournament in Green Bay. Western Wisconsin will be represented by Durand, Arkansas in Division 4 and Elk Mound in Division 3. On Thursday, boys' basketball sectionals begin after regional championships were won on Saturday. Onalaska will face West Salem in Division 2, while Aquinas will play Luther in Division 4. In D5, top-seeded Cochran Fountain City will take on Columbus Catholic. The boys' state championships will be held next week at the Cole Center in Madison. Today through Friday afternoon will be pleasant, with highs topping out near 60 today and rising to the 70s by Friday. Then, rain moves in Friday night into Saturday, with a chance of thunderstorms and even some snow showers by the end of the weekend. After a quick cool down Sunday, we'll be back to seasonable temperatures next week. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast.
You can listen anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Eric Stone Street is expanding his acting talents. The hilarious and Emmy-winning Stone Street, who played Cam on Modern Family for 9 seasons, has agreed to a role on Dexter. Stone Street will play Dexter's estranged brother, who he was separated from at a young age. You can catch Eric Stone Street on Dexter Sunday nights on Showtime. Hate speech and toxic social media users had to take a powder this past Monday when Twitter, also referred to as X, experienced outages, leaving anonymous users and bots with nowhere to spew their disinformation. Angry young men who hide behind avatars and fake screen IDs probably experienced calm for the first time in the last few years. Better a Twitter malfunction than a Cybertruck. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny and even warmer tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of showers and storms Friday, high around 75. Windy, rain to snow, and falling temps Saturday. Sun, breezy, and a high in the upper 30s only Sunday. Right now it's 53.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
It's Thursday. We're excited to meet our pharmacist at Dr. Omar at 8 a.m., followed by Mandela Barnes in the second hour to discuss the April elections, the Supreme Court, and the state superintendent.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Hey, Matt Rothschild. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Dom's off today. I'm sitting in with my usual co-guest host, Angela Lang of Block. We only got 25 minutes left because at 5, we're cutting to an event at the Overture Center in Madison on the stakes of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That event is sponsored by Up North News in association with Civic Media. Great folks on the panels, State Senator Kelda Royce, Representatives Francesca Hong, Moore Omukunde, and Christian Phelps will be part of the discussion. And moderators include Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, who's heard across the Civic Media radio network in the morning. Civic Media host Todd Albaugh and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and, of course, of Civic Media, too. We're going to take a couple texts about our conversation on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race and money in politics, and then we're going to shift gears a little bit. And then in the last segment, we're going to want to say something good and hear from you about something good. So you can join the conversation as always. Number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're also going to have a poem, Audre Lorde, in her own voice. Something to watch for and listen for. Really inspirational person. So texts. We had a text from Don from Milwaukee who wanted us to talk more about Musk as acting president. I do think he's kind of deputy president. That's what I would put him as. He's doing what Trump wants. And ultimately, Trump's going to want to be the big dog. And so, you know, he loves having the richest man in the world sitting next to him. But he's always going to exercise dominance at some point. It is outrageous what Trump has delegated Elon Musk to do. And it's outrageous what Elon Musk is doing across the whole federal government, just cruelly, as Maggie Dawn and Mandela Barnes talked about in the last show, how cruelly they're dismissing great people who are doing fantastic work for us in our government. Our government is an institution we're supposed to control as a democracy. It's not a business where the CEO is the dictator, and that's what Elon Musk is used to, and he's acting like a dictator. He's acting like the boss from hell.
I mean, I'm waiting for the public crash out between the two of them. You have an ego personality like Trump, and the same thing in Elon Musk, that are very power driven and do whatever they can. And, you know, they will clash at some point. I think somebody nicknamed them the Real Housewives of the Oval Office. Oh, you know, it's funny. Only a matter of time before a plate gets thrown across the room and somebody storms out in their ball gown, right? That's just and that may have happened already, who knows? But I don't see this little bromance happening. And, you know, we hear little whispers here and there that Trump has to clarify, oh no, Elon's not doing this, and he has to put his foot down and try to rein him in. And I don't think Elon is somebody that you can, you know, when you're the world's richest man, you're not gonna, you know, be railed in very easily by the president of the United States.
Plus, he's, you know, they have a symbiotic relationship. You know, he's funding Trump's political operations through a lot more money in today. And of course, Trump is fronting for Tesla in the White House lawn there. So it goes both ways. It's an ugly combination. Matt from Madison texts, a pro Crawford ad needs to be a series of faceless men asking, am I the rapist that I'm allowed to walk free because of Brad Schimmel not processing the rape kit? Oof. What do you make of that, Angela?
I mean, I do think, and I think other folks have noted, that the rape kits, I think, is going to be a highlight. The instant I heard that he was running, I was like, that's it. That's something very notable. And that was a race, you know, when he first ran for attorney general. Let's just say, I mean, I was involved, right? But like, I didn't know all the tea, the ins and outs, the behind the scenes, the way that I do now. And that is one of the things I remember from that time. That's all anyone talked about. And I think it deserves to be talked about. I think the women, the victims, deserve to have that talked about and have answers and have that be a lesson in accountability, not from a place to score political points, right? But and I think that there is a way to do it, to try and shed a light on this terrible, gross misconduct. And if I remember correctly, he was off spending time, spending money and designing these commemorative coins versus actually processing and getting justice from victims when you are, you know, supposed to be the state highest ranking law enforcement official. And I think that deserves to be talked about.
commemorative coins self-aggrandizing. At that. So we also have Annie texting from Watertown. There's a big difference between my high school classmates sending a few dollars to her home state race and a multimillionaire financing a major campaign who probably can't find Wisconsin, actually. So, I mean, let's be real here.
But has Elon Musk ever stepped foot in Wisconsin? Like, that is a question. I'm going to think about that. And I'm willing to bet no.
I'd like to see the photo. Let's Google it. Anyway,
and if he did, it was maybe at a Trump rally, but I think we would have known that.
Yeah, I want to shift gears. I could not come on the air today without expressing my disgust and horror at what the Trump administration is doing to a Palestinian American activist, Mahmoud Khalil, a Columbia University lead activist protesting the terrible genocide in Gaza. Collective punishment, if you want to be milder, in Gaza. Both of those are outlawed by the Geneva Conventions. Simply for speaking, he has been detained by ICE and whisked off to a detention center in Louisiana, leaving his wife, who is an American citizen and 8 months pregnant, just wondering when she's ever going to see him again. This is something we haven't seen in this country for a long, long time, this criminalization of speech. The closest thing that I could conjure up in my brain was in the McCarthy era when Charlie Chaplin was expelled from the United States because of alleged pro-communist sympathies. So this is a disgusting assault on our First Amendment. Angela Lang, I know you are a leader in the Wisconsin ACLU, and I know the ACLU is taking a strong role here in defending Palestinian activist Mahmoud Khalil, student activist at Columbia University. What is your feeling on this one?
I mean, it's horrifying, right? I think this is part of organizers' worst fears when we were bracing for the second Trump administration. The government basically kidnapped a man because they didn't like what he said. If we really want to boil it down, that's what happened. And no matter left, right, blue, red, moderate, purple, you know, green party, libertarian, everyone should be horrified because where does it stop? And if it happens to one person, it can, and without any repercussions or any accountability, it will continue to happen. And this, it's political in nature because of the environment that we operate, but it shouldn't be partisan. Again, anybody, you know, you can ask somebody on the far right, if Biden did that to, say, Charlie Kirk or one of these far right YouTube extremists, what would you say about that? Right? This is something that every American patriot, if, you know, people love to use the word patriot, everyone should be outraged and horrified because it's a slippery slope. Once you get away with it once, there starts to be a precedent for and a justification for it to continue to happen and happen to other groups. It's not going to just stop at pro-Palestinian supporters. It's going to continue to LGBT folks. We're already seeing attacks on the trans community. And, you know, wearing a slightly different hat. Yes, I am the vice president of the board of directors for the ACLU of Wisconsin. And we actually had a board meeting last night where we had some level setting conversations. But one thing is that the ACLU is always committed to defending civil liberties. And that's including freedom of speech, which is very clear right here.
Yeah, that's where I come down on this. I mean, do we have free speech in America or don't we? Does the First Amendment mean anything or does it mean nothing? Do we have freedom to assemble or not? And then let me just speak briefly about anti-Semitism in this question of whether it's okay to protest against the policies of Benjamin Netanyahu as head of the Israeli government, who has been oppressing Palestinians for his life, and the horrific assaults in Gaza that killed more than 46,000 people. And most of those
so far that we know of
women and children. Yes. And just demolished Gaza so much so that Trump wants to come in and make it, you know, Cancun on the Mediterranean or with a statue of himself there. You know, this idea that you cannot criticize anything that Benjamin Netanyahu does is de facto anti-Semitic is just ridiculous. And the fact that anyone who criticizes anything that Netanyahu does is anti-Semitic, I mean, who gets a free pass in this? You know, we're not allowed to criticize anybody. And it gets to the point where if you're Jewish and you criticize Netanyahu, you're a self-hating Jew. And if you're not Jewish and you're criticizing Netanyahu, you're anti-Semitic. So there's an absolute null set of people who can criticize Netanyahu and his oppressive policies toward the Palestinians. I don't accept that. I recoil against that. Mm. I think it's the responsibility of every ethical Jewish American to speak up against what's happened in Gaza, and also to speak up right now about the kidnapping of Mahmoud Khalil, this Columbia University activist, and the whisking him away by ICE to some detention center in Louisiana. There was a court hearing today, and still he's in detention. He wasn't released today. So his legal troubles are ongoing. Our legal troubles here in the United States for our democracy are ongoing, and they're only going to get worse, as you said, Angela. And I am very worried about where our democracy is headed. It's headed down the hill on a toboggan, and we need to rise up, protest, get our voices heard, and stop Trump and his deputies from destroying our democracy. Trump said this is just the first. There are going to be a lot more like Mahmoud Khalil, and I believe him. He wants to totally decimate protesters around the country. And it's not because they love Jews. I mean, look at Musk's Nazi salute. Take that. Right. Or look at Vance and Musk, you know, supporting the far right neo-Nazi party in Germany. They don't have a love affair with Jews. They're just using that as a pretext to suppress free speech and to ingratiate themselves to some really scary people on the far right here in the United States. So this is an issue that we all should get behind.
I also want to lift up too that, you know, it's an attack on the student movement. And I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't bring that a part of the conversation, because I came from the student movement. That's how I got my start in organizing in senior year of high school and at UWM. And I remember when I was at UWM was when the Act 10 protests were happening with former Governor Scott Walker. And then there was protests happening on campus, which I was helping lead. And then shortly after, Scott Walker took out the provision that allowed funding for a statewide student organization. And the reason he did that is because he understood the power of the student movement. You look back to the anti-war days, the Vietnam days, the civil rights era. It is students, it is young people that are organizing on college campuses that are able to shift our thinking, to shift our society to a morally just world that we all want to see. And so I'd also think that this is an attack to try and stifle specifically young, more progressive, maybe more lefty students that are ready to mobilize and be activated. And once you kind of take out the student movement, when you see time and time after again, students are at the heart or at least at the intersection of every movement in this country, you start to see how critical that organizing is. And it's another attack on students trying to organize and ultimately shift this country for good too.
Yeah, I come from the anti-apartheid student activism movement in the late 70s. So you're so right, Angela Lang, that student activism is crucial to moving this country forward. Trump wants to defund universities that are allowing protests and wants to kidnap the protesters. So this is an attempt to decapitate progressive student activism. We'll be right back here on the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Matt Rothschild with Angela Lang, and we're going to want you to tell us something good. I've got a couple good things, and we've got a poem. From Audre Lorde. Great voice. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849.
ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Dom's off today. I'm sitting in. I'm Matt Rothschild. Late of the Progressive Magazine and late of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Supposed to be retired, but I'm still going. And I'm here with my usual co-guest host, Angela Langham Block. It's great to be with you again, Angela.
And I appreciate that you're semi-retired because that means we could keep doing things like this.
It's not going to last forever, but it's going to last a bit. You know, I thought I could sneak away, but then seeing Trump lurk on the national stage, just too much for me. Yeah. Anyhow, we only got a few minutes left on the show because we're cutting to an event at the Overture Center in Madison on the stakes of the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. This event is sponsored by Up North News in association with Civic Media. We'll be running it on the Civic Media Radio Network. There are great people on the panels, including State Senator Kelda Royce, Representatives Francesca Hong, Representative Moore Omokunde, Representative Christian Phelps, and the moderators, you all know them if you've been listening to Civic Media, Pat Kreitlow of Up North News, who's on in the mornings, Civic Media's own Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, and of course, of Civic Media. Now we've got something that Jess brought into the Dom Salvia Show, which is this closing segment, Tell Us Something Good. It's a brilliant idea, really. And when I'm on Wednesdays, I always bring a poem, too. I've got other things to say that are good, but let's go straight to the poem from Audre Lorde, one of the most amazing feminist activists, no longer with us, but she was an inspiration for many of us. And here's her voice.
Her poem, A Woman Speaks.
Moonmarked and touched by sun, my magic is unwritten. But when the sea turns back, it will leave my shape behind. I seek no favor untouched by blood, unrelenting as the curse of love, permanent as my errors or my pride. I do not mix love with pity, nor hate with scorn. And if you would know me, look into the entrails of Uranus, where the restless oceans pound. I do not dwell within my birth, nor my divinities, who am ageless and half-grown, and still seeking my sisters in Dahomey, witches wear me inside their coiled cloths, as our mothers did, mourning. I have been woman for a long time. Beware my smile. I am treacherous with old magic and the noon's new fury. With all your wide futures promised, I am woman and not white.
The powerful voice of Audre Lorde, perfect for Women's History Month that we're in the midst of right now. I loved I Don't Mix Love with Pity and Beware My Smile. got a chuckle on that one. Something good. I just want to say what I've got good to report. I'm driving in to Civic Media today along John Nolan Drive with my windows open because it's 55 and sunny out. And I hear the cry of the killdeer, which is a kind of a sandpiper. There it is, the very identifiable cry of the killdeer, which is one of the first shorebirds to return to Wisconsin every year. And I remember as a little kid, because I've been a geeky bird watcher since I was three, I remember hearing killdeers and loving them as a little boy. So for all the little boys and girls out there, that's what a killdeer sounds like. Listen to it over the next week. They'll be coming back in droves. Angela, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, additionally with the weather, I feel like I'm thawing out a little bit. I hibernate in the winter. I'm cranky. It's dark and cold. And, you know, now that it's sunny and a little bit warmer, I'm feeling good. I have a self-care day for myself tomorrow, which I'm excited about. And a sneak peek is, and I mentioned this a little bit yesterday, Block has a special guest visiting our office on Tuesday. And so we'll be sure to talk more about that. And you can follow up on our social media to see who it is. One hint is that we nickname him our cousin because he loves us and we love him. And he loves stopping by whenever he's in town. So,
an out-of-town secret guest.
An out-of-town secret guest. And he will be making his rounds. And I said he, so that partly gave it away.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that. A little intrigue, a little tease. Yeah. I got something else that was really good. And I commend it to everyone. And that is to get together with friends you haven't seen in a long time. Yeah. I worked at the Progressive for 32 years. And for about 10 or 15 years, I worked with this group of three or four friends. We've remained friends. We were supposed to get together prior to COVID. We didn't get together through all of COVID. And finally, last week, one of them, Jody, here's a call out to Jody, who said, I can't stand what's going on in this country anymore. I've got to get together with you. Let's go meet. We met at the Great Bakery in Madison on Willie Street and Madison Sourdough. There's a plug. And we just sat for an hour and a half over coffee and pastries, talking not just about the old times, but about the crisis that our country's facing and how we gather the strength to combat it. And so I just want to urge all of you who are listening, you know, get back in touch with people you haven't been in touch with in person. It's great meeting in person. Recharge your batteries, get your energy back up, and keep the fight, because we need everybody in the fight right now. Thanks for listening to the Dom Salve Show. Angela Lang, thanks so much for being my co-host.
Always.
Jess, you're terrific. It's great working with you. And please stay tuned for this special live event that Civic Media is broadcasting with Up North News about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Have a nice night.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we'll be joined by Chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, to talk about the people versus Elon Musk, our billionaire overlord. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Earl Ingram.
Today we are seeing the largest number of humanitarian emergencies since after World War II. We should be expanding our life-saving aid programs, not shutting them down during this time of crisis. I don't care where they come from. They are human beings. We weren't even having this conversation before 7 weeks ago, before Donald Trump took office, before a monster took office.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The deadline for government funding to run out is this Friday. Today, Senate Democrats say they won't support the House-passed bill to extend funding. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Republican bill is not a clean funding measure and it does not protect jobs or key programs like Medicaid.
Funding the government should be a bipartisan effort, but Republicans chose a partisan path, drafting their continuing resolution without any input, from congressional Democrats.
That could lead to a shutdown on Friday. Tariff troubles also mounting. The U.S. issued 25% on all aluminum and steel imports today, leading countries like Canada and the European Union to issue reciprocal tariffs on U.S. goods. Steel manufacturers say they'll benefit, but other companies that use metal in their products could get hit and pass those costs on to consumers. President Trump defending his tariffs today, hosting Ireland's prime minister for the traditional luncheon ahead of St. Patrick's Day. This is ABC News.
Your news.